this is a lackluster Collingwood, no doubt about that. They're going to get turned over at their home ground by Gold Coast.
Did you see this coming?
No, we thought we could be better than we are at the moment.
I watch body language and they just look like they're shell-shocked.
They're not really playing with any conviction, Collingwood.
The crowd getting frustrated.
They are.
They're just not taking the game on. They're making mistakes. Their key players have been quiet.
So confidence is not necessarily the word, it's belief. I've got no doubt that there is that belief that builds in teams that win more than they lose. You know, we're not there at the moment.
Have a look at the Collingwood fans start to walk the aisles.
Oh, boy.
Not happy.
Everyone has expectations. We expected to perform better today and we expected to win.
I just don't know a way out here for Collingwood.
Second last on the ladder. And I would have thought with Darcy Moore, Brodie Grundy, Scotty Penderby, still side bottom, they are better than that.
I think there is an unrealistic expectation. Clearly there's a heavy focus on the club itself because, geez, we've given you a few storylines and you've run with them.
Well done, by the way, the Gold Coast Suns defeating Collingwood by 24 points for McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M Rocks Football. But in the world in which we live, especially in this town, Jay-Z, attention won't go to the performance of the Suns or to go to the performance of the Pies.
Well, it's the biggest footy story in town, Collingwood. There's absolutely no doubt about that. They're 1-6, second to the ladder. And we talk about expectation. Well, last year, Collingwood gave away, right, its first round pick to GWS for 24-30. Now, that first round pick is now pick number 2. Now, there is no way in the world Collingwood would have given away that pick if they thought this is the situation they would be in. Clearly, the Pies thought they were a 6-12 team, and they're playing well below expectations. Now, we'll get your thoughts in a sec. There is two parts to this for mine. We'll get to Nathan Buckley's future in a second because that's the obvious story here. They're not getting anything from their three biggest players, most expensive players. Brodie Grundy, Darcy Moore, Geordie De Goey is ice cold, right? That's one part from the list. Secondly, quite clearly, Collingwood has played a high possession game style brownie, haven't they? Over the past 4 years, uncontested marks, the past 4 years they played finals, chipping it around, controlling the ball. They have clearly made a big change to their game style this year. They are now, with the rule change, more free play, right? Trying to get it forward quicker. They are a bottom four disposal team now. So they've completely, clearly made a big change there. Ross, what does Nathan Buckley do? Does he change? Does he revert back on the run here? Because they've got key players out of form.
I'm not paid enough on Triple M to fix this problem.
The game style's not working, and their most expensive and their most important players are out of form. They are 18th for centre clearance differential. They are 18th for kick rating. This is a terrible start to the season. How do you...
All right, there's two big macro issues for me. So the simplest one, I didn't watch the first up. I saw the first bounce. It was an easy clearance, but it went in. Keane falls over. Goal. That's simple as that for me. And I hear the narrative, so it's like, get the iPad out, start watching it. Third quarter, Pies, I thought they were dominating the game. So anyone that says the players aren't giving effort, I think are wrong. They were dominating the game, kicking points, a bit inefficient like you're talking about.
1-9.
It was in the third? Okay, yeah. So they're the fact. 1-9. What I watched, Collingwood dominate. It goes in. Keane's playing assertive defence. That's their system, but there's assertive and there's crazy. And then you've got to have capacity. His positioning, Moore might be able to try.
It's also in his third game.
And his third game. So how he's being coached to play up in front and miles up in front to the fact the commentator said, Greenwood's out the back and slipped on and no one's on it. No, it was Keane's playing assertive up in front when it was clearly at a contest he was vulnerable. So we can argue that point. But I just saw the ball go in, goal, goal. And through my personal experience, when you're a midfielder that's busting your ass and you're not getting that scoreboard nourishment, so it's 1-9 and you dominate, it goes down the other end, it's okay for them to score, but that's a black hole. It goes in. It does. That was some of the softest goals I've seen. Now, if you went through it, now that's not Keane's fault because he's a third game player, right? But their system, it could be tweaked a little bit more black shoulder. You know what? I saw the same thing when he played against West Coast, a level of incompetency for the position, right? So that's the first thing. So, and Moore's not touching it. He's got frostbite. Just to me, really simply, if Moore plays full back in that game, Collingwood win.
Really?
That's as simple as it is.
I totally agree. I've been saying that for the last 3 weeks. I mean, Moore has to play down back. He was in all Australian form, Moore. All-Australian centre-half back form again, and he's been moved forward and he has not touched it. He's had 9 disposals. The game against West Coast, he kicked 3. 2 of them were in junk time. I sound like I'm repeating myself.
No, you're spot on, though.
Unfortunately, and they reverted him back to defence last week in the second half, and he looks like he's even lost confidence now.
Because you've got no Howe down there. Howe's not there. Matt's not been playing there. So they're a bunch of kids. Mm. There's a level of incompetency there, to be honest. So that's where you're doing. Admittedly, they're walking it out of the front half, right? But more, then there's, we talk about energy and vibe dynamic of a team, right? So everyone can see more struggle. We sit there, we see it, we feel it. His teammates feel it. It sends it through the team.
Yeah.
Then the other bigger thing is this one, which I experience, and this is the psychology of the team. Mm. And the psychology of Sidebottom, Grundy, the stars, really. People who have been in contention.
Penderbury, Sidebottom,
Geordie. They're the ones, right? So DeGoey. So I experienced this 2009 Saints dominate. We don't get it done grand final day, right? So we have massive summer. We come out. Rewald's flying. We smack the first two teams we play. We beat Collingwood. Rewald tears his hammy for 16 weeks, right? So we bounce the next week against Fremantle. 19 goals to 10, we win. But then we lose the next 3 in a row. So then we're talking about mentors. So, I mean, I'm just a footy coach. But Lee Matthews had Phil Jauncey, the psychologist. I had Sean Richardson. Sean goes, you know what's going on here, mate, don't you? I said, well, let's talk about it. He goes, they no longer think they can win the premiership, this group.
Mm.
So soon as, like all of us, soon as your goal gets away from you, what happens when you're losing sight of your goal, you can't achieve it? You put less effort in.
Yep.
Right? So I was like, right. Well, so then we had a discussion. We spoke about, we're playing a bigger game.
Is that subconsciously?
It's subconscious. It's an insidious creep, but it happens. You know, you're processing, but deep down they think, no, Rewald, we can't win. It's like,
so how did you turn it around?
Well, we had the talk, right? So then it's about, I think that's, whether they admit it or not, there's got to be a little bit of Penderbury side on those Grundy. They've gone from a contender, almost winning it 2 years ago, and then they see their teammates go out through whatever, the salary cap, mismanagement, not playing well, they went. And then the injuries, they're 7 or 8. So they're not stupid. They know they can't win it this year.
Mm.
But then it becomes, well, you know what? You've got to have the talk.
What's the talk?
The circle up?
No. We had a bigger talk. And we said, we're playing a bigger game here than the premiership. Every time you go and play, you display your character to the world. So then I spoke about Baker and Hayes. Their character, what they display at training on the field, and they're totally different people, does anyone think they're not going to be successful off-field? Because of their character and what they display, they compete. And Stevie Blake, he's in a different, but he's flying, right? But no one would pick that. So this is about a bigger game. This is the game of life. This, you're displaying it to everyone. You can't turn your toes up here. And then they dug in. And look, we went on to make the grand final. We were 10 out of 12, top 4, but... So the mentor played a role, helped me understand psychology at a deeper level, what was going on. I think they're the two things. The mechanics with Moore and Keane, it's not Keane's fault, and there's a little bit of capacity, but their stars have got to go, which Penderbury will, but a few of them, I think that's the talk. Now, we might be able, but it's a bigger game you're playing here. This is the game of life in your character. So that's the talk I had, and I learned a lot out of that. And they went mad from there. And it was like, yeah, we acknowledge that. So then it didn't become about the 4 points. It became about displaying your personal character on the footy field to your Collingwood army, everyone that watches, and this is the sort of person I am. And I think that's the talk they need.
Fascinating.
Isn't it? Absolutely fascinating. Their midfield at the moment is not getting the job done, and it is a superstar midfielder. Now, Duncan Ross, you guys, welcome your thoughts too, Brandy. You guys both backed in Nathan Buckley really strongly this week on Channel 9, Ross, and you're at the back page of The Age.
Yep.
Does this shake your faith? I would have thought if they lost yesterday or next week against North Melbourne, the ship sinks. Does yesterday's loss shake your faith?
I asked Graham Wright this question yesterday, and they've all said, and Nathan Buckley said in his press conference yesterday, that they're all saying the same thing, that the decision won't be made till later in the year. The question I asked Graham Wright yesterday was, why wait until the middle of the year or later in the year? What more are you going to find out about Nathan Buckley? You're not going to find anything more about Nathan Buckley.
But there was no response yesterday, Duck. Surely you get something out of yesterday.
Because what Ross said then, and I totally agree with him. I don't think it's a lack of effort. with Collingwood, and I think he is getting a response. I think he's still getting through to a players. You don't go over to Perth and win a final like they did last year. You know, I mean, the players are still playing for him. He still he still has strong relationships with his playing group. So I don't think he's lost the group. Now, clearly they've lost, for all the reasons that Ross said, confidence, all of the above. I watched them yesterday in the warm-up. You were down there, Jay-Z. You were closer than me.
Yep.
But I watched the warm-up of the two respective sides. They went in. It wasn't much in it at halftime. I watched Collingwood's warm-up and it was completely different.
In what way?
Collingwood were just flat. Balls were rolling between their legs. It was.
I heard you say that. I liked that. That was insightful.
They were fumbly.
But that was half time.
Yeah.
But Collingwood would come out and dominate at the start.
I know. But it was just something that I picked. And Gold Coast, they were doing it at full pace. There was a sharpness. There was an energy. Just the energy was completely.
Does anyone think the change in presidency has got somewhere the identity of that club was so entwined with Eddie?
Well, what?
And he's gone. Like, even the play group, it's like.
What it has done is it's taken the figurehead. And whether you, I mean, I love Eddie Maguire, and I think what he's done for the footy club is just unbelievable. But I think that, so he always took all the heat. He would be taking the heat for what's going on right now. Now all of that heat is going to, all of it is going to Bucks. Now I know Bucks is used to it, and he's been through it. He went through it 3 years ago. Nathan Buckley is a better coach now than what he was 3 years ago when he was in a grand final. So what more are they going to find out about Bucks? Why don't they either take the pressure off him now and say, you've got another two years, or put him out of his misery?
Well, I think he's got some coaching to do this week. I think the game style, the changes they've made aren't working.
And
he needs to get his key players.
Really good point. What did John Longmire say to Sydney at halftime? We heard Papley say, we're going too quick. We slowed it. Yep. We had a lot more marks.
The adjustments.
Yeah. Yep. So, and Gold Coast had 148 uncontested marks. So, they go back to the field. A lot of teams are still playing that style. So he's probably shifted to, I'm not sure whether he got bullied
shifted
into it
too
or
much.
So the coach gets all the whack because Eddie's not there. And I tend to think that the footy club as a whole has probably let Nathan Buckley down. I mean, you lose three players.
That's not his fault. You're a coach,
Ross.
That's a list manager.
Okay,
I'd be howling.
We've got three players. One who is a gut-running machine who is a little bit weird and hard to handle. We're going to get him out the door. No, that's Treloar.
Oh.
And then Phillips, who is a six midfielder who can do a really job and they bat deep. And then obviously Stevenson, who kicked 40-odd goals in his first year. How do you do
Rising star winner.
And obviously Nathan Buckley would have had a small say in that because they would have come to him and said, you know, we've got to clear out. We don't have the money in the salary cap.
Yeah.
We're going to be under the pump. So Nathan Buckley would have looked at it and thought, in conjunction with other people, okay, well, if we have to get rid of three, we have to get rid... These are the decisions. He didn't want to make those decisions,
100%. But can we go back a step to what your point is? Is that the club saying, we know we're going to be in the pressure in 2 years, but have a crack at winning it, which they almost did, and now there's the fallout that everyone should... It shouldn't just sit with Buckley?
Yeah.
Or do you think it was just... It was a conscious decision to blow up the salary cap eventually, or was it mismanagement?
No, I'm saying it's mismanagement, and it's cost Bucks maybe his job going forward. Yeah, and they continue to say through the president, we're going to play, we still play finals. We had a one this week, running one game out of it. And then that creates a narrative that Bucks is failing, where all of a sudden then they were after Jeremy Cameron. You can't get Jeremy Cameron in. So you've got to lose three players. We can't get Jeremy Cameron in because we don't have the money.
Yep.
And by the way, we don't have a pick two next year. Our first pick is gone. So good luck. Get out there. Do your best. But
and then compounded by the injuries of Adams, Howe.
Yep.
You know, just it's
I think
melting
the club's
pot.
Let Nathan Buckley down, and he'll probably suffer for it.
What would you do with Geordie DeGoey? I mean, they punted those other blokes, and they put their faith in DeGoey, who wanted big money, not back $1 million a year.
I think he's always been a bit overrated, to be honest.
Really.
The hype on him for the...
What do you see?
I see an explosive forward at times who's a third tall, a bit-time midfielder, who's had his moments, right?
Yeah.
But consistency of application. And so we get contracted for future performance. And that's... Well, they saw his potential, but he hasn't got anywhere near it. Do you think, Wayne?
No, well, and I've said this. Players get paid now big money for what they possibly could do. He's never finished in the top 10 in their BNF.
Yep.
Let's talk about what's going around. Shai Bolton, everyone's saying 750. You're hearing Adam Chera, right?
Yep.
750, 4 years. Now, who's worth the 750 legitimately? And I love Adam Chera as a kid, and he's going to come on, but you're paying for future. But if you get Shai Bolton, He just does it. There's no doubt that he's at 750 level, is it?
No, he's an absolute superstar. It'll be interesting to see whether Richmond can hold him. I just wonder, Howie, I know Collingwood made some big moves in last year's trade period. I wouldn't rule out another bombshell chapter to that whole thing in this year's trade period coming up.
What, as in pushing players out?
It wouldn't shock me.
Who you got in mind?
Well,
Come on, you opened it up.
Well, the man we're talking about, Jordan Ngoi, has made a really poor start to this season. I think Brody Grundy's deal, the club has conceded itself, and this knocked me to the floor. The president said we would love to have signed him on a 4 to 5 year deal, not a 7 year deal worth 950 grand each. He's got his head down.
Well, how would you feel if you're Grundy and you hear your president say that?
I'd be really flat with it.
It's pretty naive from the president. It's his first mistake because how he's getting on the social media, let alone he gets online as the president saying, geez, I wish we hadn't assigned you to Fox for 7 years.
It was
how
six
would you
by
feel?
Six.
And you know what? That was about a day after the president said he was going to be very different to the former president. He was going to be really, really low key and you wouldn't hear from him much. He said that.